and gentlemen, hope we're all having a phenomenal day. I'm joined by my friend, my companion, my duo. You guys already know who he is. He's a staple to the Call of Duty scene. I say this every fucking day. How you doing? Benjamin Seam. Let's get a win in the fucking chat. Ben, what you do today?
Work, Tom. It's really busy at work today. By the way, the crop on my cam, I think, need to fix.
Already ahead of you. Look.
But, we're in the middle of, like, our busiest quarter as a company, and it's just, like, full speed ahead to the end of the year. So just grind away, plugging away on programs. Tom, I think the boy MC might be coming through this weekend.
Oh, hell yeah,
so,
bro.
So trying to figure all that out with him tonight. So it's gonna be a couple of days. I'm excited.
Bro, I haven't talked to MC in a fucking minute, man. He used to FaceTime me all the time. What happened, Ben? It's my son. He forgot about me.
His sleep schedule's fucked now.
I've heard. I've heard.
He's on that off-season sleep schedule.
Yeah, he'd be sleeping by day and gaming by night. You know what
bro,
I'm saying?
He'd be coming to T-Speak at 6 p.m.
It's the gamer lifestyle, man. Hey, I've been there. And then you get older and you're like, holy shit, I got to do something about this. You know what I'm saying? That's how it was for me, at least. But Ben, we got some news today.
Yeah.
Some people are surprised we're doing a flank because people are like, it's really not that big of a deal. But to be honest, I even if an episode is short, I don't give a fuck. I think it's always cool to talk about the news that comes up. You know, it's kind of like a news show. You know, even if it's 10, 15 minutes long, who gives a shit? You know, we're going to run an episode, but we got to talk about this Florida roster, Ben, because they just announced it. They dropped it on the table. A lot of questions being asked about what the fuck they're thinking. So we're going to go on board with that. And then we're also going to go into the Reddit posted on the COD competitive Reddit today, Ben. We got some hot takes and some questions on there. And then we'll fucking call it and we'll go hop into some games and we'll do what we do best. But let's hop into it, Ben. The Florida Mutineers. Who knows what the fuck they're thinking? But they got Caesar Skies, Colt Havoc, Awakening, and Dave Patty as their starting four. They have Yeez, who's going to be on the bench. And then they have Willett as their head coach, #FearTheDeep. Let's go on board with the announcement video, and then I want to get your thoughts, Ben.
I bet.
Hey, guys. Will here, head coach of the Mutineers. Super excited to announce our roster going to Call of Duty Vanguard. We have Awakening, Havoc, and Skies returning alongside the rookie Dave Patty, and he's on the bench currently.
UIU now have numbers up the driveway, numbers in the back Lambo.
But Surge remains strong. Down 25.
Yeah, so that's all, guys. Kills and sleep.
Once again, 0-2 so far on the plane the entire time.
Gonna see Awakening on a 5-3, make it 6.
Oh, the Florida Mutineers came out with their announcement. I liked the video. The video was dope. I liked the music.
It's a sassy video, yeah.
I had to get a nice rip of the papaya during that video. We're doing a papaya show today, Ben.
Well, you could do a papaya show because it's legal there. It's not here, but go ahead.
Yeah, man, it's legal here. You know, the LA is a little bit different these days. You know what I'm saying, chat? But, hey, let's get fucking into it, Ben. Where are your thoughts at, Ben? Where are your thoughts?
So look, like, you know, I want to kind of give people a window into something that I want to use this show to be kind of like straight up about things that people may not know. Not every team in the league has an unlimited budget. Not every team in the league is going to be able to go out there and pay six-figure transfer fees and spend to the cap. And so I think Florida talk around the league is one of those teams that, you know, is always going to have to work around budget constraints. I think they're going to, you know, they've shown over the last few years that their goal is to kind of find diamond rough talent, develop them, and if it sticks, great. If not, they move on. So it's an interesting roster to me. I have a couple of thoughts, Tom, but let's go one by one. I think my first thought with this roster is the massive X factor in the team. I think is Big Wake. Looks like he's going to be running a sub.
Yep.
We talked on our last show about some words that were said by Neptune. If he comes in, he's hungry. We see shade to him from his debut in the beginning of last season. You know, they could surprise some teams. If it's a lot of what we saw at the end of the season, you know, this roster might have some difficulties. I don't know if you agree with me on that.
No, I mean, for me, I just didn't know Big Wake ran a sub. I didn't think that was his thing. But apparently that's the case. Apparently he does run a sub. Apparently he's done it before. So this is news to me. I've just never saw him as a sub player, like the way he plays and it's kind of like his play style. It just, I don't know. But if he's confident in doing it, one thing you can't take away from the kid is he's talented. You know, he's definitely a really good player. Some people throwing around the overrated term. People think he's overrated, but he's been doing his thing. You know, he's a good player. And then you're partnering up with Havoc. So that's going to be your sub duo. I like to compare it in duos. You know, you got Havoc, you got Big Wake. It's not scary enough for me. It just doesn't seem scary enough when you look at some of the top teams and look at who some of their sub duos are going to be. You know, so it's up to them to see how they're going to perform as a duo and if they can get on the same page. But I think in terms of talent, I mean, it's looking good. It was interesting to me, Ben, that you were bringing up some of the budget stuff and some of the business side of things. It really brings people in a little bit on kind of what goes on behind the scenes when you're making roster changes. Because, you know, announcements could come out and they look underwhelming and people aren't going to be happy with them. But they also don't know what's going on the other end. You know, they're kind of just left in the dark with everything else that's going on the business side. So I thought it was interesting that you mentioned budgets. Maybe they're working on a tight budget and, you know, they don't got a lot of money to spend. And if that's the case, they have a select few. And there's definitely other people who I thought Florida could have went with, you know. But I just think right now, Ben, in terms of the roster, it just doesn't make sense on paper. Like, the roles don't make sense. They just have too many AR players. At least that's how I think.
I mean, a big weight can be a good second sub. Then the roles kind of do make sense. Yeez was playing in Challengers, that aggressive sub. You know, we got Skies. Dave Patty is kind of your standard AR player. I haven't seen Dave run like a third sub. So maybe that's something a little bit curious. I'm not sure in Challengers if he's done that in the past. Dolph Skies run a third sub. But like if Big Wake can hold down that second sub spot to 2-2 meta, like I think they'll be fine.
Well, it's just a
talent gap. I think is the other kind of big thing with this team. Like, you know, this is where they're gonna start at. I have a feeling that this is not where their team will end at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. But like you look at the skill on this team compared to some other rosters, and it's just not really doesn't stack up as high as even like a team like Seattle, for example.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just hard, though. There's only so much talent that can go around. Yes, there's other people on the market that they probably could have got. But it's interesting that you say, you know, talking about some of the talent that's at the top of the league. Because when I'm looking at FaZe, Dallas, fucking the rumored Optic, it's just like, I agree with you, Ben. I just don't know if it's going to be able to compete. Like, I'm going to have to agree with you on everything you just said. It just seems like they're just maybe underwhelming. It's just a little underwhelming. Maybe one thing I do want to say is that the players have had to have a say in this for sure. You know how it is, Ben. The players, you know, why do you think so? I'm looking at Havoc, I'm looking at Big Wake, and I'm looking at Skies, right? Why, what do you think was going through their mind, you know, their thought process on Dave Patty on a player like him? Do you think Big Wake wanted to run a sub? Like, do you think he really wanted to just get off, or run it? He just really wanted to get off the AR and just really run a sub. Do you think that's what it was? And maybe just looking for another AR player? And they thought, hey, Dave Patty's a top AR in Challengers. Let's give him a go. Do you think that it's just that simple, or do you think it's a little bit more complicated than that?
Well, I'm very curious because candidly, I don't know. I've asked around the league, and not really much is kind of going around the usual like rumor kind of confirmed sphere. You know, we know that Neptune obviously got out today that he moved on. I think there was always, you know, I was a little surprised he moved on from Havoc. I know, like, stats wise, he's not always the most consistent, but like you listen to that team last year in their comms, like he was very much a center. So someone's got to kind of fill that role now. You know, it's an interesting decision. I think for Florida, like maybe the thought process is, okay, we're going to go with a little bit of an underrated team. We've also made changes in the front office side. Willett's kind of leading the line as a head coach now. They moved on from Ricky Atura. We'll see how this team goes. And as sort of the availability of talent rolls throughout the season, we might find another player and pick them up. They did it in the Modern Warfare year, right? Mm-hmm. Florida was like not particularly out there world starring people in the middle of the Modern Warfare year. They picked up Big Wake and they kind of ran pretty well at the end of the season. So I think it's going to be kind of a work in progress roster. I like Yeez. He's a little underrated. I know his
that's who
his
I was going to bring up next.
Yeah, I know his numbers and challenges weren't like amazing. But he's coming in, Ben.
You know he's coming in.
His ex-teammates have nice things to say about him.
Yeah.
Which is good. He's got good work ethic. The slang obviously will be a big question because it's a big step up.
Well, I mean, you say you don't think it's going to be their team at the end of the year, right? I agree. I feel like somewhere down the line, they're going to need to up the pace or something. I feel like the pacing or something's going to be wrong with the team. and they're going to have to change it up. I could be completely wrong. We could both be completely wrong. We have no idea why they ended up going with this team decision. Then Willett. I didn't expect Willett at all. They got rid of Ricky Ehtoro, which was a shock to me. I was like, I thought Ehtoro was doing his thing over there. You know, I thought he had a good relationship over there. I thought he was a good coach from what I've heard when I talked to some of the players. He does a great job.
Yeah.
But I don't know much about Willett, so I don't want to, you know, talk. But do you know who Willett is?
So first thing, I got a little confused. It looks Havoc is still on the roster, so I think he's going to be in that starting SMG spot. So it's him.
Yeah. No, it's Havoc. Yeah, Havoc. Yeez is the one sitting on the sideline.
On the bench. So my bad on that. I've heard good things about Willett. He started working with them in the middle of last season. Players said in interviews that, you know, they thought he brought a positive presence and look like, you know, Ogre 2's a GM. He's obviously a goat in Halo. He's been in a lot of teams. I'm sure between him and Ricky, you know, between Will and Ricky, I think he probably went with Will and just felt like that leading the line that he probably brought more value. Mm. Curious to see how they kind of round out the rest of the front office. I'm curious if they've got like an analyst, kind of the rest of supporting staff there. But everything I've heard about Will is that he's a solid head coach.
Well, if you have to look at the Florida roster with everything on paper, where would you rank them? You got 12 teams. You see all the rumored rosters, right? Crone has been dropping bombs.
We saw two teams. We don't know who the rosters are, though. So it's like, really, how do you rank them out of 10?
Yeah, I mean, okay, rank them out of 10. Forget about Paris and that extra spot. People are talking about DC. That's what Crone was saying. Nobody fucking knows. But forget those two spots. If you gotta rank them in the top 10, 1 through 10, where are you putting them?
I'm sorry, but I think it's probably gotta be 10.
You pull them all the way up, right? I mean, if you just gotta look at all the competition, man. Like, it's so hard to put them higher than that. I like all the guys over there at Florida. I would love to see them to fucking turn it around and fucking prove us wrong. I really do. But it's hard to just put them at the top with some of these other teams.
Yeah.
Do you think they could have picked up, you know, some other guys? You know, I feel like there's a lot of guys you can go with. But they must have felt a connection or a chemistry or something. They probably know Dave Patty. I have no idea. But we'll see if it ends up working, Ben. You know, we'll see. I think
to our note, Tom, I think this team will go through a couple of different looks. Obviously, he's on the bench. They can try him out at some point if they feel like the sub presence is not there.
That's the problem when you're working when you're playing through a low budget. It just doesn't make sense because in order to acquire those players, you're going to have to spend unless you're going into...
Unless you're picking up a Challengers player, right. They did a big Waken and they won two events. So, like, you know, anything can happen. There's a whole season in front of us. And I'm sure there's a player or two that's not on everybody's list that's going to absolutely crush in the beginning of the season in Challengers. And he or she will be on everybody's radar coming out of the season when they want to rotate rosters.
Yep. Well, before we get into the Reddit and everything and answer some questions and some hot takes that are coming in, people are saying in the chat, Vivid, what's going on with Vivid? I know what's going on with Vivid. He's obviously, you know, he's talking to some teams and shit. But with this Florida roster, maybe they just didn't give him an offer he wanted. You know, somebody for Vivid, maybe it just wasn't enough. Maybe he wanted more money, you know? Like, there's so many different things that come into it. Maybe he didn't like the team. Like, you got to think, Florida might have tried to get Vivid. They could have went for him, but maybe he didn't want to go there. You know what I'm saying? Lamar said the password didn't work. Really? Did I text him the wrong password? Send him the fucking info, Ben,
I'll send you the right password, Lamar.
Yeah, send him the info. But people saying Sally having the girl coming in, which I wouldn't be surprised if one day we saw a girl coming into the league. But I definitely want to get into some of these hot takes and stuff that are on Reddit because you guys came in hot. You guys always come in hot. The first one is hot take. Florida will be the worst team put together for the Chicago spot. For the Chicago spot, Florida will be worse than the team put together for the Chicago spot.
That doesn't make that sense considering we don't know
what the Chicago spot's going to be.
We'll take a pass on that take. Okay.
I mean, it's a hot take. You know, he's guessing it. So we want
it's a lukewarm take, but okay.
What are you going to do, Ben? And then somebody goes, we want the... Here. Yeah, drag
User
him in here.
User was moved to your channel.
Lamar, what's going on, my man?
Yo,
welcome to the flank. How you doing?
It feels good to be back. What's good, Zoo Mafia?
Yeah, just another day in the office. Mar, what do you think about this Florida team?
One, apologize for being late. Two, the Florida team is definitely a little interesting because we don't know what Wake can do with the sub yet because he's doing a role switch. So it's hard to like predict how well he's going to perform. But I could see them running into the same issues that this Florida team kind of had with like the AR problems. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Because who knows? What if he made a name for himself running AR, and then he runs a sub, and maybe he's not that good with it, or he is, like, maybe he could be a better AR than someone else that's running AR on the team, and the dynamic could get a little fishy. But if he runs a sub and he fries, then who knows what'll happen?
I mean, he's got to be good with a sub. He's even with an AR, like when he ran the Krig in Cold War, he moved around like a Maddox, like a sub. Like, he was definitely really talented. Like, has good movement, has good game awareness, good game sense. The sub might fit him. Apparently, he wanted to. I'm pretty sure he wants to run it. I don't see why. Either he wants to run it, or they just didn't want to get rid of either Skies and Awakening. They wanted to keep him, and one of them had to do it. And Wake is the one stepping up doing it. So that's
out of those two, he should do it for sure. Like,
100%. If you're choosing between Skies and Awakening and who's gonna run a sub, I'd choose Awakening, just because I just think it's a better fit. And I like Skies on the AR. I think Skies is nasty. So I think keeping him is good. I don't know. It was just interesting that I would love to know their thought process. I reached out to some of the Florida guys, but they're all just really busy today. I know it's all last minute shit. So one day we'll try and get them on.
This is what I understand. Well, the reason why I guess I kind of can credit them for the move is they already tried the Skies Awakening AR duo with rotating different sub players in and out, and it wasn't really working. So if you're going to make a change, you might as well do something where it changes the whole dynamic up, like a role switch, a new AR duo, like all of that. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, it makes sense. I think the main thing is what you said, Lamar. Just what is Big Wake going to do with a sub? And what kind of Havoc are we going to see? I think that's my question, too. Because we know Havoc has his ups and downs, but what Havoc's ceiling is very high, bro. Like, that guy's
good.
He's a fucking
beast.
He's a
good team player.
He's a good teammate to have.
Here's my little bit of a fire take. Like, Big Wake's coming that third year now. And I think this is a big year for him to see if he's a superstar or if that first year and a little bit of second year was a little bit of hot momentum and he regresses a little bit. Like, maybe that's a little tough on him, and so be it. But, like, he's got an opportunity to be the featured player on this team and be a real impact sub player in the way that we've seen players like Simp and Shotzi kind of lead the line on their teams. If he steps up and does that, he's in that elite conversation, and his team's going to overperform and be very interesting. If he's kind of, you know, some of the shots that we saw Neptune take, that he's a little selfish, that he's not putting in the extras, that he's not being a team player, then they're going to have issues. No, I'm not saying he's going to do
These guys have said publicly. You know, Awakening has said, and Neptune.
Yeah, I know you're trolling. Oh,
but it's just weird because Neptune took shots at him and Wake took shots at Neptune. So, you know, it could go either way.
Wake came at Neptune? I didn't see that.
I don't know. That's what Ben's saying.
I don't think Wake came at Neptune.
Then who said that stuff about Neptune?
No, Neptune said the stuff about Wake.
Oh, I thought you were saying
Did I misspeak? I'm sorry.
Oh, you might have misspoke. Neptune, which I am.
I'm sorry about that, but Neptune basically, you know, said basically, look, Wake's still young. There are always going to be learning experiences for young players on the extra things you need to do to be a good teammate. You know, it's a lot of unspoken stuff, like if you're in and around those teams, that people don't teach you.
Yeah.
And it's a question of, are you going to step in that role and be a glue guy and team leader, or are you just kind of a go with the flow guy? And there are players that have unfortunately kind of fallen in this box, that they're just kind of neg chem guys. They just kind of want to do what they want to do. And on some teams, that'll work just purely on the fit. And then on some teams, that's going to be a problem because they've got to buy into a system. So we got to see. I'm really kind of, Wake is one of my players to watch next season and kind of how he performs on this roster.
Right. Like, I think on paper, you're going to put him at the, you know, in a bottom spot. But they could turn heads. You know, they could. I don't think there's no hope at all. Is it looking good? Maybe not so much. People aren't really liking it. They're not. But at the end of the day, they might turn it around. They have talent. So we'll see what they can end up doing when the season starts. You know, and we still have more teams that are waiting to be announced. So we're going to see what happens when the rest of it gets announced.
Yeah, the Seattle Surge doesn't get a flank episode, bro.
Let's talk about it. Hey, Lamar, welcome to the show.
We talked about it in the last episode. What do you?
I know, but now we have Lamar. Now we have Lamar here. Yeah. Lamar, how you feel? Oh yeah, we did talk about this shit. We talked about this, but let's get back into the Reddit. People want a slasher episode. That's what people want to see.
Oh, that's gonna be a banger.
He did say 2 weeks to us. Like, what was it? Like at Champs?
I reached out to him today because I was gonna see if he wanted to come on today and talk. He said that he's in LA right now, actually filming content. So he's doing like content. He's doing all that stuff with the squad. But he said next week he's 100% down and that he's ready to talk. is what he said to me.
Okay.
He said he's ready
to
call.
You heard it here, folks.
I don't know what that means, Ben. I don't know what that means.
We'll have to see in the episode. Sounds like our audience is going to have to tune in and see what Austin's got to say.
Yeah, I mean, hey, bro, I'm excited for that.
They're going to want to tune in for that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, bro, Austin, as soon as Champs ended, Austin, the first time I talked to him after Champs, he said, when are you doing the next flank? I want to get on the next one. I said, I don't know, Austin. We'll see in the offseason. We'll get you on, bro. You know what I'm saying? You know Austin. He likes to talk and fucking. He doesn't give a fuck, which I always respected about him. You know what I'm saying? So you'll get that soon, Chad. Don't worry about it. Somebody said, why not go for Reese Vivid instead of Patty? What, Ben? Is there a problem?
Yeah, no. I got to say, I'm a man of cool and awesome storylines, and I really want to see this LA Thieves, LAG rivalry really heat up.
Oh, it's going to heat up. It's going to heat up.
There's some blood now, bad blood between some of these teams now, between LAG and Thieves and some of these players and past actions. Obviously, the Austin situation. So, you know.
There's always that time period, right, where beef just starts coming out of nowhere. The rivalries start happening. We're in, what, our third year now, the franchise league. It was only a matter of time, Ben, till some of this shit was going to start hitting the fan.
LAG has the winning record in that matchup, I believe, right?
Wait, last year wasn't a rivalry. LAG didn't lose to them once.
That's crazy. That's fucking crazy. But people, if people would still put fucking that 100T team over them.
The 100T team was better than them. It was just crazy that every time LAG played them, some weird shit was happening, like a fill-in or like someone was sick and they had to get a substitute.
Is that what it was? Was there some bullshit every time?
Twice.
Or was it just
twice?
Oh, twice? Okay.
That happened the first time they beat them fair and square. They just shit on them.
Shit, I don't know. Maybe LAG just got their number, bro. You know what I'm saying? But listen, somebody said, why not go for Reese Vivid instead of Patty? Vivid has such a good end to the season. Surprised he's not on here. We talked about that a little bit, Ben, on kind of how maybe Reese just didn't want to go there. I mean, no, Lamar, that's a good take, no? He just doesn't want to fucking go there.
Well, maybe Reese doesn't want to go there. Maybe they couldn't afford it. But then also it just comes back to that same situation where they didn't want the same dynamic of just filtering sub players in and out and Skies and Wake still as the AR duo. So if you want to keep both of them and you don't want that same dynamic you already tried 9 times, you might as well. If you're going to keep both of them, this is the only way to do it, in my opinion.
What I will say is asking around the league that there is a cost to acquiring Reese Vivid from Dallas, and it is not a small sum of money. That's factoring into some of these situations.
Definitely not. Definitely not a small sum of money. But somebody said, do you think Florida team is already going to be worse than the inevitable league minimum Paris roster that will be last minute? We don't know the roster.
Answer that question. Go ahead.
Yeah, we already answered that.
But what Ben said about the cost of Vivid or whatever?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't want that to get taken out of context by the fans, and they're saying that like Dallas is like fucking hoeing Vivid and stuff. We've seen Dallas, you know, clearly work out situations where they know if a player is going to get screwed over, they're not going to just keep him at a high buyout. So I just think it's a situation of Vivid actually not going to Dallas and saying, hey, I really want to go here, like make it work. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's totally accurate. And Stroh's always been that kind of owner, and that ownership's good. The ownership group has always been that kind of ownership group where they always solve those situations. I mean, we saw with the Kyler thing too. They got him onto a squad pretty quick in that situation. So.
Kyler, Clay, they're not going to hoe him and just keep him at a high price if he actually wants to go there. I just think he didn't push from his side and say, yo, I really want to go there, figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. It comes down to Vivid at the end of the day on where he wants to go. Ben, did you ask a question and I completely ignored it?
No, I was just annoyed. Do you think Florida is going to be worse than a team we don't know what it is yet?
Oh, okay. That's a dumb question.
Kind of a question.
That's my bad. Sometimes I'm reading through these and I miss shit that you say. Somebody said hot take. Halo will be more entertaining than the CDL this year. What do you think about that?
That's an interesting claim. Well, look,
the CDL is entertaining as fuck.
Not to toot our works horn. HES first Halo event in Raleigh did sell out general passes today, so that was interesting.
They sold out.
Yeah,
sold out.
I want to go to that, bro. I want to watch. That'd be lit.
The thing with Halo, it's been gone for how long has it been gone? A few years now.
It feels like a decade, bro.
It feels like fucking forever, bro.
But yeah.
It's been a minute.
So they're coming back. They're going to get a lot of the limelight. But go ahead, Ben.
I mean, I think both are going to be interesting. Look, like, let's just be honest. Everybody for now 2 years, for the most part, we've just been sitting at home, twiddling our thumbs, waiting for COVID to end. And next year is shaping up to be one of those years where live events are coming back in full swing. So I think it is a little bit of a hot take. I think both HES and see y'all gonna be pretty lit next year with fans being able to attend hopefully all the events.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm excited to watch Halo. I think everybody is. A lot of the COD pros are fucking playing Halo when the beta was out. Somebody said Illy will be a top 5 player this year. I'm guessing that's a hot take. Bro, we know what Illy can do. We know what he's capable of doing. I feel like a lot of pressure was on his shoulders last year, too. Even when he was playing good. Like, I don't know. I just felt like everybody was always on his ass. But I think people forget what Illy actually brings to a team. No, Ben, his comms, his smarts, his leadership. Like, Illy brings a lot. He's a very smart player. That guy's a chess champion.
Yeah, he's easy to play with. He makes...
Yeah, he's Illy's easy to play with.
Illy's the type of player that, like... His teammates will say he's one of their favorite players to play with, but the fans will never give him that credit. But it's like, bro, the person that you're a fan of is a fan of him.
Yeah, exactly. And
Illy reminds me a lot. You're going to laugh at this, Tom. He reminds me a lot of like kind of Chris Kreider's play style when you say that.
Yeah.
That he's just going to play by the book. He's going to make impact plays. Look, he's not going to be the flashiest slayer in the world. But he is flashy, though.
He has flashes where he's like that. You know,
he's
going to
make impact plays. He's just not like always going to be that featured player in the way that Shotzi is and how they play that system. He's going to play a little bit more of the gap fill role. I think he's, you know, going to be an interesting fit on this rumored Optic Dallas team. I just hope that I said this the first day we talked about this rumor, I got really mad. I said, look, like Optic and Dallas fans, PSA, please do not like throw Illy under the bus after the first two events of this team struggles, because it's probably not going to be on him. It's going to be on the players in front of him. Need to figure out how to execute their system, because you got a lot of players that are trying to get theirs, and they got to be a little bit unselfish now that you've got potentially a stacked talent roster. And they've got to space the map correctly and play off each other if they want to compete with the top teams.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's interesting that you said that, you know, fans never really give him his credit, never really put him up there. But I think eventually he's going to get his credit once people see what he brings to the table. Maybe with this rumor of this whole Optic Dallas merge and stuff, content really hits the fucking fan and you get to see a little bit more of the inside of Illy. Because, bro, I know that they did content around in Dallas. I know that they were doing content over there. But it never felt like you got to know the players through their content. You know what I'm saying? It's one of my main critiques to them is to have more personal content so we could just understand a little bit about more who Illy is, where he came from, how he came up, how he likes to think about the game. You know, get them more involved with little shit like that. We'd love to have Ender come on the show too, but I think Ender can be a top 5 player. I don't even know if that's so much of a hot take just because he brings to the table.
Well, yeah, we haven't seen the best of him, and again, if he can like step up in the slaying, like we already know that he's making the right plays on the map. Like it's not that far out there of a take that if he takes that step up as a player, he can be in that combo.
I don't disagree at all. Somebody said Afro and Nasty will be a top 3 sub duo going into it. Bro, Afro and Nasty sounds good. It does sound
top 3 sub duo is kind of hard though. Think about it. Like
you got Sip and a BZ. The Shotzi and Skump, now that you're here, and Hydra and Neptune. You have Asum and the guys over at LAG. Asum and
Hook. The LA Thieves subduo.
Asum and Hook. The LA Thieves subduo with Envoy and fucking Kenny now, right?
But the rumored Hydra and Neptune subduo. So
Envoy
like,
Kenny.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. What?
So, is it Envoy Draza?
Oh, yeah, Draza. Yeah. My bad. Envoy and Draza. They're going to be good. Bro, I still wish that they do Envoy Kenny on the subs. Put Draza as the fucking flex. And see, that's just what I would do, personally.
I think Kenny should be a sub, too.
I would love to see Kenny. Bro, just imagine Kenny and Envoy running at you. Like, it just sounds annoying as fuck. It just doesn't sound pleasant. And then, but you know what Draza can do with an AR. Like, that guy's gross. So, I don't know. We'll see what they end up doing. And Octane, obviously, we saw his fucking land card. 100 Thieves is going to be another team to look out for. I agree, though, Ben. It's hard to put him up there as a top 3 sub duo right now.
It's possible, but the competition's pretty stiff
why I think CDL is going to be more entertaining than Halo. I just feel like CDL is so competitive now. It's just you don't know what the fuck's going to happen ever. This Florida team could come out and fucking smoke people for all we know. You know, maybe some of these teams at the top. You start seeing them go downhill. Maybe they're not performing to their best. Maybe people are catching up. You don't know what's going to happen. The fucking Call of Duty League is always full of surprises. You know what I'm saying? But what do you think, Lamar? What do you think about Afro and Nasty?
I mean, I will keep it a buck. Nasty was on my radar when I was like going to be forming a team and stuff like that. I think that kid's going to be really good.
Okay.
I think, I think he's a good, definitely a good gamble to take, a good calculated bet. And obviously we saw African be a top player for the few games that we saw him compete at the end of the CDL. So, I mean, they have potential. Like, I'm not writing them off at all. That's for sure.
Yeah, you can't write anybody off.
The key to this Rumor London team, because I think they have announced their team, correct? The Rumor.
The London team, they haven't announced it.
Yeah.
Did they announce it yet, Chad? I don't think so.
Bro, everything blends together. Like, I
don't even, yeah, you don't even fucking know anymore because we pretty much know who it is.
So it's been so long. But anyway, to get back on topic, the biggest thing for these London teams and like the million versions we've seen over 2 years is we haven't seen much of an roster overperforming. And we can talk about the talent on the roster, but that's the first step for this London team is how do you get the best out of those players in that Rumor roster? And then from there, we can say sky's the limit, but they got to get to that first step and be a real consistent contender as a squad.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said in the chat, these teams are taking their time. I mean, why wouldn't you take your time? Got all the time in the world. I'm sure they have everything on their way. It's just the contracts and stuff. Sometimes stuff like that, chat, could take a couple weeks. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't surprise me. Am I muted right now?
No.
You guys hear me? Okay, good. Because I hit my fucking key. I thought I muted my mic.
And it's also a lose-lose situation. If a team rushes to get their announcement out and it's not like super dope, people are like, oh, $25 million for this type of announcement? Shit, shit, shit.
Yeah.
But then if they take their time to do something super dope, get all the players together, whatever it is, and do like a nice announcement, they're like, why are they taking forever? What the hell?
Yeah, you know how it goes. People are never happy. You know, but people want us to talk about the London roster. Chad, once things are announced and, you know, we don't want to talk about rumors. I know a lot of the rumors are coming true, but at the same time, rather have the announcement, take a look at their announcement video, their announcement tweet, and then, you know, have our fucking opinions after it goes public. The next one, it's not a coming in LA Thieves tag. Well, I'm sure this will be discussed tonight. I'll ask just in case, do you guys think Florida should have built around Neptune? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have kept Neptune. I feel like he was like a diamond in the rough. You can see it in his gameplay. He's just a fucking, he's a beast.
During all of Roster Mania, I kept saying, I was like, whenever all these rumors, everything was going around during the whole beginning of Roster Mania, I was like, Florida is off the motherfucking papanya if they let Neptune go.
And they let him go.
If they let Neptune go without a player, they're off the papanya. Cash is the least valuable asset in the CDL when it comes to forming teams and like rosters and this, like, it's just a fact. Getting cash for a valuable player is literally useless.
Mm-hmm.
The player is the most important thing. You can't just let a star player, potential star player, walk for money.
Because here's the thing.
I'm curious.
I was just going to say, the thing is with Neptune is if there was internal beef between him and some players on the team, then the organization has to make that decision. Well, you know, which side do we choose here? And maybe majority was on the other side. But, you know, I know Neptune probably didn't want to stay there. So that's probably why they got rid of him. But I think as an organization, you got to think, listen, maybe we should keep this guy and make him happy because you know what he brings to the table and what does he want? And maybe they asked him that. Maybe they asked him what he wanted and maybe they couldn't make it happen, you know? So who knows? I wish we knew more on the back end of things with this roster. Would love to hear some of their thoughts. I reached out to them, but it was so last minute. So I just, a couple of them responded and they were out of town. So I have no idea.
It was, yeah.
Somebody said, hot take, LA Thieves will stick with their roster the whole year. I love how that's a hot take.
It's bold to claim that about, like, all but, like, a few teams in the league. Because
you love it.
I know Modern Warfare was, what, 2-3 teams that didn't make a change the whole year? I'm curious, what was the number last year? FaZe didn't make a change. Optic didn't make a change. And who else?
I have no fucking idea.
Was it 2 teams or 3 teams last year that didn't make a change? I think it was hard.
Two.
It's hard to then say like a team's gonna stick because like the Matt's saying like
two.
Most of the teams, large majority of the teams are changing every year.
Yeah, I'm losing full reading the chat. Everyone's saying is a JCap, bro. In what galaxy do
everybody
you live in?
Everybody wanted
J Cap
to change the team. Yeah. Everybody always wanted him to change the team.
Not
too.
Even that. It's like what galaxy do you live in that you think J Cap was just a tyrant dictator saying, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm dropping this guy, I'm doing that. Bro, there was 100% of collaboration within the organization and between the players Cap and everyone. It's not just like Cap like, yo, fuck this guy, benched.
Well, you know how it goes, bro. I mean, bro, I've talked to J Cap a lot about it, and he's just like, J Cap's funny when you talk. He plays it off as a joke too. He's like, oh, you know, what are you gonna do? You know, it is what it is. It's just part of it. You know what it is? You're the head coach. So everybody thinks that everything runs through you, which makes sense. You know, it's just that's not how it works. You know, and that's why we have the show The Flank, to keep you guys updated on some of the stuff that goes behind the scenes. But Jake Capp doesn't do, he doesn't make all the decisions. Like Lamar said, he just doesn't. But I just find it funny that that's a hot take. I think LA Thieves will stay together.
The root of their issue last year is that they had a chance in the offseason to make a big shuffle on their roster. After an underwhelming season, they acquired the team from Immortals, and they decided to bring the core of the roster back, and then it didn't work, and they were just kind of chasing the pack for the whole year. And this year, they had a chance to kind of build the team that everybody thought they were going to build. So I think it's a totally different set of circumstances, and I'm curious to see kind of how they start the year off this year. If they get a good start, then they just kind of ride it. Instead of what it's been like the last couple of years of the core of that roster, which is poor placements to begin with, and well, now we got to step it up or we're not going to make it and get a high seed for champs, or in the case of last year with the new format, not make it a chance at all.
Mm-hmm. Now let's go into the next post. Somebody says studio viewership is going to keep getting significantly worse every year unless the devs start giving more support to the competitive side of the game.
Not how it works.
I mean, bro, I don't think we're gonna go down in viewership. I personally don't think we're gonna go down in viewership. I feel like it's just gonna stay how it's been, and maybe viewership, grow a little bit.
Viewership last year for the last two events was very good.
Yeah, it was good.
Guys, viewership every year is like kind of about the same, and it falls not the competitive scene, but people's interest in Call of Duty as a whole. The interest in the beginning of the scene is this, just like it's almost like this with even with like normal sports or with the TV show that premieres, there's always gonna be a lot of interest in the beginning. People are gonna get busy, it's gonna start to dip, and then there's apex moments near the end where it's gonna pick back up. And they had really good metrics at the end of the season. I expect with if live events come back and you have these cool experiences that look great on stream, great in person, the interest will be there. I think that's a little bit of a bold claim. I don't think the competitive side of the game has as much correlation to viewership as you think it does.
Well, you also got to think too, Ben, in the Kali, you have storylines, internal beef, rivalries, yeah, new teams, roster changes, fucking, it's a year full of fucking emotions, bro. It's a fucking roller coaster. That's what makes the Kali so exciting, in my opinion. And I just feel like that'll always keep the viewers there. You know, people love watching COD. They love knowing the in and outs of what goes on in COD. And behind the scenes, the relationships. That's why COD is such a big community. It's why everybody loves COD.
The COD community, I agree with you too.
The COD community sticks together, bro. We stick together.
I agree with that. I also think that like people get a little too hung up on and between looking at every single match or event individually. But the reality is, as a business, like they don't look at it as every match individually. They look at it as a collective of the year. And I don't know the whole stats of the years, but I'm pretty sure the stats for like the overall year, including VODs and live viewership, is good.
It is good. It is. And bro, the views on YouTube are phenomenal. People might be looking at live viewers, but also forget that, you know, they're the VODs, the views of the VODs and everything, like all that stuff matters.
Overall, for the whole year. Overall, not just a
like
match.
Yeah, bro, that shit matters. Like it does. And I know for some reason, I don't know why that is. Like on Twitch, I feel we'd have more viewers, but I think YouTube is headed in the right direction. I just feel like they're just up in their game with the streamers that are going on there now. They keep updating their software. I swear every other day, Fwiz is on fucking Twitter saying, we just added this, we just added that. You know, YouTube's stepping up their game when it comes to the streaming game and the live viewership. And then the fact that all the VODs get uploaded straight to the channel, it's easy access for everybody to tune in. I think the main thing with YouTube is just to make sure people who don't know anything about the COD League see that shit when they go to youtube.com. like, it should be there somewhere. They should have like a live stream tab or some shit. I just feel like that's the main thing. It's hard for people to find, but I think YouTube is headed in the right direction. I do. So I think the viewership will be fine. But let's see what else somebody said. Hey, Tom, completely random individual here. How do you feel about Illy getting hate and already being scapegoated for Optic Dallas failures that haven't even happened? We were just talking about this. About Ben, you were saying how you feel like, you know, he was getting scapegoated early and you were trying to tell people to calm down. No?
People are already trying to set the narrative and it like pissed me off. It's like, yeah, like this rumor team, we haven't even seen them scrim yet. But we all know kind of behind the scenes kind of how situations like this have played out in the past. And that's why, like, from my POV, I don't want to see this happen. Like, you know, Lamar, you've been in those situations, bro. When you team with players that are dynamic and you're never able to get into power spots because they're taking all your spots, the game becomes hella random.
Yeah, it's too chaotic. It's all about your system.
Situations. Yeah.
There's some players that thrive There's some players that are just so talented that it doesn't matter the system or not or whatever it is, they're going to get theirs. But that doesn't mean that your team is going to be successful. Like, someone could be doing bad because of a broken system and this and that. And, yeah, okay, maybe they're not the most insanely individually talented person, that they get theirs no matter what the fuck is happening. But if you want your team to be consistently good, you guys need to be able to have that consistent system, routine, etc.
Somebody said, why are teams like Seattle and Florida have three players who are more comfortable on AR than sub? It reminds me too much of Cold War Rocker pre-Standy.
Lamar, can you talk about the roles in our team? Because I feel like there's some misconceptions.
Yeah. So what did the guy say? That Seattle has three ARs?
Yeah, which, I mean,
okay, so
I
Tommy,
agree with that.
Tommy can vouch for this himself too. Like, when we picked up Mac in MW, if you look at his stats in the matches that before we switched to him to an AR, like, he was literally, his stats were fucking in a different galaxy compared to all other sub players. So Mac's very comfortable on a sub. The reason why we had him run an AR at the end of MW was because that's just the situation we were in with our roles. Like, we needed someone to run a smoke, so we couldn't put Donnie on the AR because he would run the smoke. Dylan was like a mega rotator, so we had to keep him on a sub too to rotate. And then Tommy's running a sub. He's one of the best subs, so we had to keep you on a sub. He was the only person that we could give the AR to and keep everything comfortable. So he just got put in that situation by default. And the M4 was like a do-it-all whatever gun.
Mm-hmm.
This year for Mac, I'm pretty sure it's kind of around the same scenario that kind of happened. It just carried over from the end of last year, and then he was put on the flex this year because of whatever circumstances that you could talk to more about, because I was kind of out of touch.
You're saying with Mac?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, bro, I'm just a big fan of fucking Mac, bro. You know me. I love Mac. He was like, I was so high on him. I like Mac better on a sub. Even if he was running an AK-74U in Cold War for a couple weeks, I don't give a fuck. Give that kid another month on the sub, and I guarantee you he figures it out. Like, he's talented. Like, he's really fucking talented. Yeah. I play with him, and I know what he brings to the table. And then I think him and Sib have good chemistry. I feel like Sib and Mac, they've played together in the past. They get along with each other, and that stuff matters, too.
They came up together.
Yeah, they came up together, and that stuff matters. That stuff definitely matters. Haven't heard much about Pred, but other than good things, this Pred guy reminds me of Hydro with the way people are talking about him and him coming up and kind of the things that he's been doing. Clearly, the guy has a lot of talk around his name because of how good he actually is. I haven't seen it firsthand, but having a Mac Pred sub duo with a Sib on flex, and then Lamar, you're just going to be kind of teaching these guys how to play, to be honest, because you're going to have to. You're going to have to teach these guys how to play. Yeah, it's your job. You're going to have to be a leader for them and try and get to the bottom of what the fuck's going on. And, bro, I think, if anything, the team over at Seattle has a good dynamic. The Florida one's a little bit different to me because I've just never seen Wake on a sub, where with Mac, it's different. You know, Mac, I know what he can do.
He was literally like one of the best subs in the game in MW.
Yeah, bro. And it's funny that you said, Tom, we can't move Tommy to an AR. Is that because, you know, many times I try to run an AR in my career and everybody just shut it down. Like, no.
Nobody lets you run an AR.
They never let me run it, bro. But, bro, I would just know that I was down, chat. Know that I was fucking down to run an AR. But somebody said, hot take, one of LAT, Optic, Ultra will bust this year and has to change roster midway through the year. I mean,
that's definitely plausible.
It's definitely possible just because there's already three teams there. You're not even adding FaZe to that list. So say you have four teams there. They all want first place, at least top two, top three. Like, there's going to be a team here that's not happy with how the season's going. And it's just plain and simple. Like, there's always going to be teams that aren't at the top. That's just, it is what it is. I'm curious to know which team it's going to be. I'm excited to see if Ultra has the same year that they did. If they just come out and the game fits them and they do what they do. I think with this rumored Optic roster, that's like a real question mark for me. Once everything gets announced, we'll talk about it more. But I'm curious to know how those guys are going to perform. But what's on paper, man, looks fucking insane. And same with LA Thieves. And, you know, Envoy's going to have some grudge matches in there. There's going to be a lot of storylines in there. So listen, there's going to be teams that run into issues along the way and end up changing. It happens every year, and that's why it's so exciting. But we'll see. Rumor New York Subliners will win more events this year than the rumored Dallas Optic. Ben, we'll start with you.
I will say that I feel like it's kind of hard. I think talent's a little bit of a wash with this one, so the only way to really figured out is by like the team's ability to have won in the past and knowing that they like can grind through that wall at events. I feel like New York Subliners maybe has a little bit more there. I don't know. That's a tough one, man.
I think it's hard to say.
And Krim can carry teams to W's. Like they've done it so many times through their careers when people have been counting against them.
There's just so many question marks, man. How is Neptune and Hydra going to play together? Is it going to work? Are they going to be able to play off each other, or is it going to be a fucking mess? How are Clay and Krim going to vibe
That's
with them?
That's an interesting dynamic.
It's an interesting dynamic.
With Neptune and Hydra,
yeah,
I'll be honest.
Talking about talent, forget it. Forget about it. Neptune and Hydra, they're talented.
Yeah,
they're
gonna
they're going to be annoying to play against. But how are they going to work off each other? Their bait and switches, their fucking, you know, all this stuff, bro. Like, their comms. I know Hydra, you know, his comms weren't the best because he came from France. But when you hear the listenings, they sound good. Like, we'll see how they work off each other. And then Clay and Krim are question marks for me, too, you know, because you know what they bring to the table. You know what it is for Clay and Krim? I think they work best together. Like
I think their duo cards are insane, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's where I think the team can get scary. If they do mesh together and New York is really hitting that ceiling that I know they can hit, they're going to be fucking disgusting. Now, getting to that ceiling is the question mark for me. Can they get there? And that's what we're going to have to wait and see.
We've talked a lot, Tom, about all these teams in the context of like what we think from Respawn. From an S&D perspective, I think these are some like very interesting squads, like in that game mode. Like if their sniper's back, I really like this Dallas Optic team in S&D. Like they're gonna have no problem getting picks. And you know, Clay and Krim in their duo, when their teams are always going to be disciplined in S&D. So definitely curious in that game mode for both those teams, which one might be the better S&D team.
That of Optic and New York?
New York, yeah.
I don't know, man.
I think it's much tougher than you might think.
I mean, Bruce, Ender, Shotzi, and Skump and S&D sounds deadly to me. It does. That's a good S&D team, in my opinion. I don't know who's gonna be calling the shots. I'm guessing Ender's going to be calling a lot of it. And I feel like that's when Ender's in his element, when Ender can get in a zone where, just like the 3v3 tournament chow or some shit. You ever watch Ender play those? He's very talkative. He's always doing weird shit, calling weird plays. I think if he really can step up and be a leader here, I can see that team being better in S&D. But it's tough, too. It depends how the game plays out, too.
It does depend on the game. But, like, you know what Clay and Krim, they're not going to get in a situation for the most part with their teams where they're just an easy read. And they're going to be very easy to counter. This was a difficulty with Optic's team last year. They were very much like an open book, and you watch VODs and them, they didn't switch up, and if you executed your game plan, you were in a good chance to win that map. Now, I think with Shotzi and Illy and with Rambo probably coaching this rumored team, like, I think that will change up. But I like I said, I don't really want to discount the Clay and Krim duo in S&D is deadly. They put a lot of effort and thought process and study into their theory craft in that game mode, and they've got some very talented sub players that can get picks and clutch in those game modes. I mean, Hydra was in those clutch situations disgusting in S&D last year, so same with Neptune. So I really kind of like this rumored New York squad low-key in S&D.
I like both rumored squads. Once they end up getting announced, which I'm pretty sure they are, based off Krone, everything Krone says is pretty much just straight facts at this point. Everything that he said so far has been correct. But we'll see. I think the games are going to be really exciting. Those two teams together, when they're playing each other, is going to be a good watch, bro. That is going to be a good fucking watch. Somebody said, genuine hot take, fact that the best player in the league is named Simp actually hurts the markability of the league overall. Names like Simple, Faker, Tens are so much easier to market. I think, bro, Simp is easy to remember. People, you can market around that. I think it's just going to come down to the person. I feel like the gamer tag, bro, there's people who are blown up on Twitch with like, bro, XQC. I mean, I guess that sounds good. I guess XQC sounds pretty good. But you know what I mean? Like, it's not about the name. It's about the player, the personality. Like, that's what builds a brand. And then,
my friend Ray, his username is his full name. Like, his actual, like, government name. Like, you don't, like, that branding is irrelevant, man. I think that's a mistake as well.
Look at Adam in the chat. He said, fat hippo meat. Exactly. Fat hippo meat could be huge. It could be huge, you know what I'm saying?
But that's a big brand right there.
it's a big brand, you know what I'm saying? But we'll see. I disagree with that take. This guy starts going, he goes, laugh my fat fucking ass off. It's a name, G. Whilst I do get your point, tell the other pros with better names to shoot straight and play better. Maybe it won't be a problem. Jesus Christ. You guys are ruthless on this fucking app. Florida will be worse than 2021 LAG. I don't know about that. 2021 LAG was not good. What do you think? Hot take, Ben?
No, I think even this Florida team should be able to get more results than the LAG team, but we'll see.
Somebody said rings doesn't matter because your favorite player doesn't have one.
Damn. Okay.
NYSL won't be top six this year. Well, it's hard to say.
I mean, it's stacked, so it's definitely possible. I don't think that's a hot take.
Mm-mm. Hot take, Dashi's winless streak is not comparable to Clay's winless streak. Clayster went winless in a time frame when many more tournaments were being played. Dashi's winless streak is mostly during the CDL era with very few tournaments.
I think there are more tournaments per year than people realize. I think people... Or I would say those streaks are comparable. I kind of disagree with that take.
They're pretty comparable. I feel like, listen, there were definitely a lot more events when Clay was playing. But I don't know. I just feel like, listen, man, if you're going to get...
The season started in February and there were six events.
Yeah, no, there's still a lot of events. Well,
think about it. Clay's streak started, what, Black Ops 3? Like, he won in AW. The streak started in Black Ops 3. Black Ops 3 didn't have many events at all. Had, like, four, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then IW had a good amount. And then World War II and on, it's been around the same, hasn't it? Like, six, nine, or something.
It's a tournament every month and a half, which is about the pace we have now. Mm-hmm. That, like, that tournament...
Yeah, I don't know the exact numbers, but I feel like since World War II and on, it's been around the same. Like, around seven, eight, nine events, right?
Difference between back then and now, and Black Ops 3 is an exception because the year really didn't start until qualifiers were, in December, and South Carolina was... in February, I think, or late January, I don't remember. The season now doesn't really start till February. Back then, first event was either end of November or beginning of December. So you had like one to two extra months of the season compared to now. That's really the difference. But I think the streaks are comparable. I think that's cap. I think it's they're in boats for similar reasons.
Somebody said hot take. Do you think Dashi will be the fall of that rumored Envy Optic team? Why are people are on Dashi's nuts a lot, huh? They're on his nuts.
If it doesn't work out with him, they'll just move on and the team will find someone else because it's a good destination and we'll see what happens. I don't know what does the fall mean. It's not like the team's floor is like top six. Like if they have to rotate players, they will still be a good team. I refuse to believe that.
I agree. What do you think Activision thinks of the success of Valorant, especially because they had the resources to mirror how they run competitive/ranked? I feel like Valorant's hard to compare to COD. I feel like there's some things that COD does better in Valorant, but the viewership has definitely been good. How's the viewership in Valorant? It's been nuts,
amazing.
Right?
Valorant, like a lot of esports scenes, justify a thing that a lot of people say, which is this theory that allowing server space for participation, aka having, you know, amateur brackets and challenger scene, generates more interest in the game. And Valorant's got a pretty good way that you could get up that ladder and potentially qualify for some of these majors. I'm just curious for Valorant. We have not seen a big Valorant major land with fans. Like, we don't know yet what the ceiling for that game is. So I'm excited to see how things evolve. So hopefully now with COVID getting ideally a little bit better, if they can get fans at a Valorant event, that'll be sick.
Somebody said, will we ever see you, Wuma, be a part of a team's front office? I'd love to see that happen. Offers like being in part of the front office has already happened. But I think for me, it's do I want to do that? You know, that's like the biggest thing. Because being a part of the front office, Ben, you know, is a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it was a lot of work managing you. I don't got to tell the
go
stories.
You're
a handful.
Yo, remember when Ben lost full and we got a ticket?
Yeah, bro. Ben lost complete
full, Lamar.
When you trolled me.
Yeah.
I can't believe
it. I need to discipline them like you as your fucking...
Yeah,
like
who the fuck is this guy? Yeah, my dad. Like, what the fuck? Remember when my dad had to sit down Ben and have a one-on-one? You remember that, Ben?
That was intimidating in London, but we won the next event, so it's all Gucci.
Listen, I'm going through the rest of these fucking hot takes. I don't see much. Sib and Pred will be a top four sub duo. Sib's not running a sub, though. He's not running a sub. He's going to be the flex. I mean, he'll run a sub. I don't know how the game's going to play out. Bro, if it's a three sub meta and you have Sib, Mac, and Pred on the subs, that sounds deadly. That sounds fucking good.
I mean, the one thing that I really like, one of the things I really like about Dante is that even when he uses AR, he like kind of plays like Preston. Like, he doesn't, he's not a traditional camper type AR. Like, he goes rogue. He chows. He knows how to like use the gun in a very aggressive manner.
Are you guys gonna have him snipe in S&D if snipers are viable? Or
That boy could do whatever he wants for sure. You want to snipe? Go ahead. What you want to do?
Just let him, I mean, bro, honestly, the players like that. You have to have that mindset with him. You have to let him do that. Bro, Dante, bro, I remember seeing Dante and MW running around with a sniper. Like, he legit walked around and challenged things with a sniper that you would never see anybody challenge. But it works, bro. Bro, I remember, Lamar, remember I brought a sniper into vent? Or no, who it was I used to bring the sniper into vent and shit. I used to do, like, weird-ass shit. But I never actually did it in a match. I should have, because shit like that actually works. And Dante's going to do it in a match. That's why I'm excited to watch him play, because he's a fucking, he's a moron, and that's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? Toronto falls outside of the top 3 to 5 teams. We'll end on this one. Not due to teams getting better. I just can't see Insight playing at the level he did last year, and I believe Kleenex and Bantz will be an average sub duo in Vanguard. Cammy, however, top three, and he's not 2 to 3.
So for our Ted Lasso fans, for our Ted Lasso fans out here, Toronto needs to really have that goldfish mindset. They can't come into this season ruining what happened in Major 5 and Champs. They were so close to winning both those events and came up short. If they can put that aside and focus on, as a team, like, how do we kind of close out these series a little bit better? Like, I struggle to see how they'll fade, but, you know, anything can happen.
Anything can happen. I don't know, man. I said the same thing. I'm curious to see how Toronto's going to perform again, because I want to see them do it for another year. But, like, on paper, I don't know. Like, it's all up to Bantz, because Bantz has had up and downs in his career. And I feel like the Bantz that we got last year was fucking phenomenal. Like, that guy's a fucking, he was an animal this year. And I think having Bantz at the top of his level, going along with Kleenex, Kleenex is just unselfish. He's that guy that just goes in first. He's aggressive, just does whatever the fuck he needs to do. Like, I feel like they have a good balance. Cammy's going to be a beast, and so is Insight. I still think they're going to be a top team. I don't see them going above top five, but we'll see if they can end up competing with some of the teams at the top. And vice versa. I think any team can fall off at any given time. You never know what's going on internally at a team. Sometimes things just aren't going well. You know, you've seen some of the fucking, you know, think about the Optic Dynasty. Eventually it ended. Complexity. Eventually it ended. You know, things end, chat. They fucking end. Not to sound so sad. Not to make it so sad and sappy, but listen, chat, your favorite team's eventually going to crash. And they're not going to be, they're going to be terrible. You know what I'm saying? But I think we can end it there. I think we went through all the Reddit questions. I appreciate you guys being super active. This hasn't been up for long, and there's over 100 comments on it already. So I appreciate you guys coming in and asking a lot of questions, a lot of hot takes, stuff like that. Lamar, thank you for coming on. You're the fucking man.
Got
appreciate
you, bro.
What are you, about to play some Warzone and shit?
Nah, I'll probably just chill. Yo, what are you doing later? Are you going to be streaming late or no?
Yeah, I'm streaming late. I'm hopping on GTA. I'm going to get on GTA.
Okay, you're trying.
Fucking rip the papaya and call it a day.
I'll probably link with Asim and Austin and stuff and get food and just bullshit if you want to come through, if you're done streaming by then.
Yeah, I'm going hard because tomorrow I'm taking Michaela's little cousins to Disneyland. We're going to Disney.
Yeah, it's
so, tomorrow, I don't know if I'll even be able to stream. So we'll see. Tonight, I'm probably going rogue. I'm probably going to stream all night.
Yeah, do your thing.
But fucking Ben, we're not going nowhere till you hit a putt, buddy.
You hit a putt, okay?
Yeah,
okay,
bro,
okay.
You gotta hit a fucking putt for us. Let's switch over to the Ben Golf Stream.
Let me.
It's a little fucked. I gotta update it as always.
Fix my brainness here.
I gotta update this, but Ben, I have a feeling you're gonna choke today.
What the fuck?
I'm being negative Nancy today. I'm being negative as fuck.
I don't want to hear that.
Let's see what you get. Hey, Ben, I've never said this. I've never said this, but I want to see what happens when I put a little bit of pressure on you, you know? I don't know if you're going to make this. Lamar, who do you got? You think Ben's making this or what?
I think he's going to ice up.
You think he's going to ice up? All right, let's see. Look at him adjust. Oh, it's going down. The camera's going down. Oh, what's he got on today? He's got the slippers on again. Does he have socks on or are those tan lines?
No, those are, wait, hold on.
Bro, are those tan lines? Wait, damn. I think those are tan lines. Damn.
Damn.
My man Ben got some color.
Ben was in the sun with his shoes on. Wear some sandals, baby.
Here he goes. He's stepping up to the green. He's lining it up, getting some a few practice swings in there. He's going to step into it. It's going right to left. He's going to strike, and he's going to make the putt. And Ben Jader seems shuts me up, chat. He shuts me up.
I believe in him.
Lamar believed in him, unbelievable. Look at him coming back. Talk more shit. Talk more shit. Fuck you, Ben. Fuck you. You know, hey.
Okay, Tom.
I'm just fucking around. Good shot, Ben. Phenomenal work out of you. But hey, chat. I don't know what else is gonna fucking happen in the next week or two. I have no idea. If something happens tomorrow when I'm at Disneyland, then we might have to postpone the flank to the next day. But that's fine if we have to postpone it a day later. But if shit starts hitting the fan, we'll be live with more shows, man. Any public announcements, definitely want to get a show up. Even though it's stuff that some of you guys might already know was going to happen because Crone released everything. Still want to get official episodes out, you know, when some of this stuff goes fucking public.
Yep.
You know, so make sure to like, comment, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. All right, make sure to follow the stream. Go to anchor.fm/theflank to go check out all the audio sites that we're on. And make sure to go follow The Flank at The Flank on Twitter. Gersh is doing a phenomenal job on Twitter. We're close to 30K on The Flank Twitter, which honestly, chat, in 1 year, 30K, that's fucking insane. You know, we're building a brand with The Flank, and for it to be at 30K already is fucking nuts, man. I appreciate everybody who's been showing love. Thank you guys who were super active in the Reddit and for making this show a lot better. We love the hot takes that you guys bring in and the questions. But as always, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. And have a good day. We'll see you guys on the next one.
Have a good day.
Right.